Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 172 of the Vex on Vex podcast.
There it is.
This is Morning Radio 7-7. Dave, how are you?
Fantastic, sir. How are we doing?
I'm rocking, man. We got a new camera set up. You can see yourself?
I can see myself.
See my arm.
Nobody else can see me, but I can see myself.
That's all that matters.
Excellent.
All right, we're live. There's a whole bunch of shit I want to talk about.
How many shits do you have that you want to talk about today?
It's really about AI spying on us for corporate gain.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's 100% a thing.
I sent you a video for the Roomba thing.
Yeah, which I didn't get.
No. A few days ago, the first one. So what happened is there's a girl and she's pooping on the toilet.
Yes.
And there's a picture of it that the Roomba took and sent it back to Roomba Central. Okay.
Why is a Roomba taking pictures at all?
There's more. Ring camera got purchased by Amazon. Did you know that?
I did not.
I did not either. They are purchased. They made a deal with Netflix or Amazon Prime, probably Amazon Prime, to make a huge America's Funniest Home Video bloopers thing of Ring Cam footage that they legally own.
Wow.
Without your consent.
Wow.
What the fuck?
Okay. So as far as like the AI thing goes, I didn't know if I bought this until maybe like 4 years ago.
Okay, what happened 4 years ago?
4 years ago, myself and my son were sitting on the couch watching an Eagles game. 5 years ago. It's the year they won the Super Bowl.
All right, 5 years.
Okay. And the NFL had come out with their clothing line, the merchandise for Salute to Service that they do every year.
Of course.
They do a month of that. And
well, they're sponsored. They have to.
All the coaches and training staff on the sideline were wearing the Eagles hoodies with the camo and the name badge on the side.
Okay.
You know the ones I'm talking about.
I do very well. Everybody's seen
them. And I saw them. I'm like, damn, they're pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
And my son's like, yeah, I really like those. Okay. They're nice as shit. I'm like, I agree. They're pretty cool. That was the end of the conversation. Literally the next day, we both had ads on our phones for those sweatshirts.
Well, obviously. But all right.
We just talked about this. At no point have I seen an ad for this.
Before that, ever.
At all. Okay. Ever.
Ever.
And the next day, it shows up on both of our phones.
I mean, all right, so we'll be at band practice, Starscream, right? Now, we all have our phones in our pockets or on our fucking, on the side of us or whatever they're at, right? So the phones are practice. We'll discuss specific drum things that Johnny Mac might need, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, we had a pedal issue this week. So, we fixed it. You probably, I don't know if you heard about it or not.
No.
So, he hits like a fucking Mack truck, this kid.
It's a fact.
So, he breaks his pedal.
Yeah.
We had to order a part, no problem. We got him another set of pedals. And don't you think that as soon as he left, an hour later, I'm on Facebook and I get an ad for fucking double kick pedals.
Yep.
Like, it's that fast now.
Oh, yeah.
5 years ago, it was a little slower maybe, but now it's pretty instantaneous. So I've known about that. Now, people, do you have a Fire Stick at your house?
I do, yes.
I don't have a Fire Stick.
I do.
I bought one. I plugged it into my TV. Do you know your Fire Stick does not have an off switch?
Yes.
So when you turn off your television, it's still on. And I had gone through a divorce. I bought the Fire Stick. I didn't like that I couldn't turn it off. I unplugged it. I never touched it again. I just didn't. Okay. I gave it away to someone else. I said vile, vile things that I probably didn't mean during my divorce.
Right.
Like verbally. And thankfully, knock on wood, there's no Alexa here. There's nothing wired in except for my stupid phone.
Next question, you have an Alexa?
No, I refuse to. I refuse to have an Alexa. I refuse. I'm glad I didn't have the thing. I said mean shit. If I run for Congress in 10, 15 years, and I want to, vote Vex, I don't want that coming up. He said he was going to strangle his cunt of an ex-wife. Did I say it? I don't know if I said it, but I don't want it to be a fucking...
Know, but it didn't hurt Ted Kennedy.
It did. He never became president.
He was a senator for 40 years after he killed someone.
No. All right. I'll give an example.
He drowned a girl in the lake, bro. He flat out drowned a girl in a lake.
No one's denying this.
Yeah.
If both of your brothers get whacked in front of the American populace, you're a lock to be president, unless you kill a woman.
Fair.
So he is a failure, really, because in his lineage,
he was also a bumbling drunk.
Not till after. Like, he was always, always a drunk, not bumbling until, because if you remember, he went hard in 1980 against the sitting president at the time, Carter. He was a Democrat. you normally the president gets his the nomination for his second term without a, like a, he was going hard, and then when 80 didn't work, that was it. He gave up because then it became Reaganomics and the whole thing, and that's when he just embraced I'm a fucking full on alcoholic. Yeah. He was always an alcoholic, but he was functioning.
Ronald Reagan won the presidency twice, and everybody loves cocaine.
Yeah.
And a lot of bad music came out.
You know what's really fucked up about that? There's a backlash of good music that comes out during the bad. Now, when you say bad music came out, right? We're talking 80 to 84, 84 to 88. What do you consider bad?
Literally the example we used last time. Like, because? And I'm talking about bands that were established and good that I enjoyed put out their worst efforts in that time period. We talked about Steve Miller, Abracadabra, last time. That pile of... That song's about trying to kidnap somebody.
No, it's not. I want to reach out and grab you?
Yeah. He's talking about hijacking somebody. Like, come on, man. What are you doing?
Here's the thing.
Joker, Jungle Love, come on.
All right, no, this is important. You brought up a point. I have a different... That's late in his career. Or later.
I'm aware.
Well, that's the thing. So you can't put him as music that was affected by Reagan. You got to give me Thompson Twins because they didn't exist until Reagan happened.
Which was terrible.
It was. Well, yeah. Not a big catch of juju. Is it? No. What was it?
Kajagoogoo. Bananarama.
I fucking love Bananarama. My first little Vex boners were to Bananarama videos. And I was like, I don't know who these bitches are. And I didn't say bitches.
I like it.
But I loved them. And there were three of them. All right. There's a brunette who's just special because she's a brunette. They're all thin. They're all statuesque. They're very pretty. No asses and hips. But I'm okay. I was fucking a kid. I didn't care.
It was
also
a thing in the 80s.
It was a thing. I was like seven. I didn't give a fuck. But there was a blonde who was mean looking. Sexy, but mean looking. And then there was a blonde who was soft looking. And that's who I loved. But later I fell in love with the brunette again. So, and then in the 90s, they got back together and they still looked fantastic. And now it didn't take off or do well, but I was very grateful.
Oh, yeah. What about the Bangles?
Oh my God. There's a fucking photo going around right now.
Really? It'll probably be on my phone tomorrow.
Susanna Hoffs performing like 6 months ago. And Madonna, because they're the exact same age. And you look at their face differentials.
Oh
my God. I'm going to send it to you later.
Madonna looks like a cat person.
And then she's attacked us, saying that we have ageism.
Not us specifically. Well, she has not commented on Bex and Dave's stance on this.
You don't know about that.
I mean, if she has, you know, that's awesome for us.
We could use the press.
Yeah, we could.
So Madonna goes on the Grammys. She looks like warmed over human shit.
Yeah.
I watched a video.
She looks like Vigo the Carpathian from Ghostbusters 2.
You're not lying.
I'm aware, dude. Yeah.
Like, it's pretty fucking accurate, right?
Unfortunately, yes, it is.
Do you like hair?
Yeah, I kind of do. I think Cher's definitely, like, had some work done.
Oh, no. She says it. Tons.
But she owns it and just is like, yeah, whatever. Fuck, I don't care. Yes, I did.
I love Cher.
Also, it's not like... I mean, yeah, her face looks a little plasticky now, but for a long, long time, she kind of kept it above board and it wasn't too over the top.
Cher's like 75.
Yeah.
You can look plasticky at 75.
If I could turn back time. Yo, it's a jam, I don't care.
No, Cher's great. I'm a Cher fan, right?
Riding that big battleship gun. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a little boner for that. I'm not going to lie. It's a thing.
That was 33 years ago.
Yep. That was an awesome music.
I remember coming home from school and it would come. Oh, it was like, remember when Joan Rivers had an afternoon talk show? Do you remember that show?
I do.
I loved that show. And by then my dad had gotten injured at work because he was a lot older and he was retired, right? So I come home from school and I would turn on Joan Rivers and maybe he's reading the paper or something and he would just tolerate it.
Yeah.
Because there was like one TV back then. It wasn't like 10 in the house. So I turn on Joan Rivers and I'm kind of on the couch like, decompressing after school, and they show the video. And my dad's like, maybe that's not quite appropriate for afternoon television. And then she was on like a current affair because she had this giant ass tattoos. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's pretty good stuff. I like Cher as a person. She made that movie Stuck on You, which showed her, like, do you remember that movie?
I do, yeah.
The two brothers that were Siamese twins who were separated. And she's funny. So she plays like a bratty fucking like movie star. She plays Cher in the movie.
Yeah.
All right. This morning I saw a video. Sean Penn and Cher were friends. Probably still are, right? In the 80s. So Sean Penn marries Madonna. He brings her to Cher's house. Cher's pretty fucking cool. She babysat Anthony Kiedis when he was a kid.
Yeah.
She's just a cool, down-to-earth girl. Never used drugs. Never drank. I got respect for that, right?
Probably why she looks so good still.
And is still healthy and still alive. And can sing. So she's had, like, a lot of colorful things happen. She was fucking Gene Simmons for a while. Like, she's had a life.
Yeah. Cher was a fucking smoke show back in the day.
She was. So Madonna comes over, and Cher's rich. She had won an Oscar. She's the fucking, with that movie we talked about, like, two episodes ago, Moonstruck. Like, she was a thing.
Yeah.
Huge music star. Wins an Oscar. She's a thing. Servants, the whole nine. But she's not a piece of shit.
Right.
No piece of shit pricing at her house. And Madonna was a brat to everyone. She's like, Madonna, at this point in this story, is a multi-millionaire 10 times over. Very wealthy, very powerful in the pop industry. Like, she's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of being a little magnanimous, which was the exact phrase or word that Cher used, she was just a brat. Like, they say real success and wealth will bring out who you really are as a person.
Oh, yeah.
But then the Bee Gees, who I like a lot, actually. Like, a lot of people don't like the Bee Gees. I like the Bee Gees a lot. Like, a lot. What?
I will say this.
Okay.
I am not, like, the hugest fan of their music, but as far as their ability, I have mad respect for their work.
What's funny about the Bee Gees?
They're talented as shit.
In the 80s, when the backlash happened and no one wanted to know who the Bee Gees were, people like you, obviously,
yeah.
They wrote and produced a million hit records for other people you don't know were Bee Gees songs.
Yeah.
So really, I like their music as well. Like, the Bee Gees are, for me, I love the Bee Gees.
I don't like Bee Gees music then. So, there's probably a bunch of songs that they wrote
that you don't know.
Really enjoy.
So the Brothers Gibb, as they were called initially, right, were young men who were famous. And so this isn't my story, but I'm going to take it.
Sure.
So the oldest brother, who looks like the lion,
Barry,
and the two who are now dead, the twins,
Andy, and I forget the other one's name.
That's not Andy. Andy's a little brother.
Andy, well, he's dead too.
Yeah, but that's my point. So
the other one's name is Maurice.
So the three brothers become famous, and it's the first. They call it first fame. You're like not 20 years old yet.
Yeah.
You got a Rolls Royce. Got a lot of fucking money, right? So. You become kind of a piece of shit. They said this.
Yeah,
kind of do. But they're like, you got about 5 years to pull yourself out of being a piece of shit. And then if you're still a piece of shit for 5 years, that's who you are. But that first, like, I'm a fucking rock star, all that shit, right? You're going to be a dick. But if you pull yourself out of it, that's called first fame. Then you get your second round of fame, which is the 70s for them. Now they weren't pieces of shit. They're like, oh, we've been here before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Their brother Andy, who did die, never lived past his first fame one. Because he kind of went outlandish with it. Remember when you don't remember this? He was fucking Victoria Principal. That's who his girlfriend was, who was older than him. She was so fucking hot. Oh my God, I loved her. Dallas. Ah.
I'm gonna put a damper on the show for a minute. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, Raquel Welch died.
85, 84?
Yeah.
That's not a bad run.
No, but you know, she falls into that category of chicks who I thought
of first boners.
Oh yeah. I'll tell you my favorite one from back in that era.
Okay.
And she's not, I don't think she was ever famous in any way. Do you remember the girl in the schoolgirl outfit from the Cradle of Love Billy Idol video?
Oh my God, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was turning 15. When that video came out, I was turning 15. Oh my God, this is a fucked up story. They're all fucked up, in my opinion. It's a sad story, really. I'm saying her name. There was a girl named Beata. That was her fucking name, Beata. I didn't know Beata. Her family was from Poland. She was so pretty. Blonde, blue eyes, really cute girl. Loved me. No idea why. None. I was ridiculous. I didn't know anything. I was ridiculous. So, but she loved me for some reason. She loved me. So I was like, oh, I guess we're a thing. And I couldn't have cared less. I remember it was like 89 into 90. Motley Crue had just come out with Dr. Feelgood. Yeah. That was my girlfriend. Her name was Beata. We broke up later, by the way, for an older guy. That's fine. Not that I'm bitter. I didn't treat her well. Anyway, I was calling. We would be all right. I'm like embarrassed. when I was a kid, there weren't cell phones. So you're on the landline in your mom's house, right? Yeah. You're like, hi, Beata. And we're watching MTV together. And the video would come on, and I'm like, my birthday's coming up. She's like, I know. I'm like, I want that girl from the video for my birthday. And she's like, all right, I'll get that for you. Yeah. And it never happened, by the way, Beata. You owe me a bitch. But, like, I loved her so much. And then her character in the video was, like, fucking 15 years old. Like, that was the best part of the video.
Yeah.
Like, she did all that crazy. And she wasn't. But the character in the video, the punchline is that she was a little kid. Remember?
She goes crawling down the hallway all bro, sexy.
It was kind of, if you think about the plot of the video, molestery. He was like a 30-year-old ad executive or some shit.
Yeah, but he was like trying to avoid
her. Yeah.
She was definitely coming on to him.
Oh my God.
She was like Joey Buttafuoco.
All right, here's a question I want to ask because of the age that you are.
Shoot.
Do you comprehend? We talked about this already, didn't we? That Drew Barrymore was in one of those movies?
Yeah.
You did know that, right?
We did a whole episode.
And now that I said it out loud, I remember. But, like, I was talking to a woman yesterday who's around your age, and she had no fucking idea. And I was like, oh, yeah, that happened. That was a thing.
It's definitely a thing.
Oh, the Buttafuoco situation. Tell me, we're old men, right? Yeah. We're kind of Joey's age now that he was 30 years ago. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that whole thing? You're in a marriage, like, 20 years. Like, what do you think? Talk to me.
Not a fucking chance. No fucking way.
Now, she was a minor, wasn't she? That's kind of the point, right? She wasn't 18.
I don't even, let's say she was 18. No.
I'm pretty scummy. I don't think you're as scummy as I am. If she was 18, I'd be like, plus she was a hooker. Yeah, it's not even fucking, I don't know, man.
I mean, yeah, she was.
Like, literally a prostitute.
Yeah. And they couldn't videotape it then, which would have made it legal.
What do you mean?
Public service announcement for anybody watching. If at any point you decide to pay for a prostitute, that's illegal. Unless you film it.
And then
it qualifies as pornography and you're paying them for acting and it's legal. They can't do anything about it.
You've never seen the footage of her as a prostitute? It exists. The prostitute footage.
I watched it before the episode that we did.
When they were doing the sting on her in the hotel room.
Okay.
I'm not talking about being a fucking porn star.
Oh, no.
There is, when she's a minor, prostitute footage of her being a fucking prostitute before she's an adult.
That's spectacular.
She's got her little beeper, and she's like, yeah, man, he's got a beep, man. And she's like, on the bed. It's fucking, they tried to put it out to make Joey Buttafuoco, like, not look like a piece of shit.
There's not really much you can do to not make him look like at least a little bit.
Well, that's why she was called the Long Island Lolita, because she was a hooker.
She's a hussy. A hussy. Yes.
And I mean,
a trollop even.
I was like a little, I was young. I was a teen. I didn't know what Lolita meant at that tender age.
I'm
like,
now you do.
Oh, of course I do. Now we have the Google machines on our hips that listens to everything that we say.
Don't stand so close to me.
Now, Sting was a teacher. Did you know that?
I did know that.
But I read his book, and he was an elementary school teacher.
Okay.
And the song is so just
not autobiography.
No, it was all fabrication. It was just a song written. It wasn't like a thing. But don't stand so close to me. And then when they found that it was a teacher, it was like a little racy in the press there for a minute.
And you know, it's Sting. You like the Police?
I love
them. You enjoy the Police?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, a lot.
They're really, really good.
And then I went to see them. I got a discussion, I think at New Year's, where some woman was like, well, I went to that Police show and it was fucking boring as shit. And I was like, what? Shut up. Sit down. What?
Why?
What?
Explain to me how.
And she was like, I don't know. It was just, they didn't do anything. It just sounded like the record. I'm like, you don't understand. It is three human beings in their 60s sounding like they did 40 years before perfectly.
Are they the best three-piece?
Hendrix, motherfucker. Cream, motherfucker. Yeah. Here's a discussion. There you go. That's a good one. All right. Best three pieces in rock and roll history. What do you got?
Oh, man.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them?
Now, technically, at one point or another, Thin Lizzy was a three-piece.
Okay.
It wasn't always, but there were portions. And that's a great fucking band. So, I don't know.
Shout out to our friends, best three-piece on our scene, Meat Plow.
They really are. No, they're not anymore. You sent me fucking pictures.
I don't know if that was a permanent thing or whether they just jammed a couple tunes that night. I don't know how that worked.
The Eagles played, so I didn't go to the fucking show. That's what happened.
I know. I went late because it was a blowout. I left my house at halftime.
And then so I felt like an asshole because it was four dudes in meat plow. I missed it. I felt like a piece of shit. Like, yeah. I was like, God damn it.
I sent you pictures.
So, all right, meat plow, we love you. Shout out. Dave.
Best three pieces.
Give me the top three three pieces in order. 3-2-1.
Now that you said it, I gotta put cream at least two.
At least, right?
Cream's really fucking good.
And they did that thing you don't like. They jammed.
Yeah, I know, but they're so talented.
I know. I know. It might be the smoothest guitar player and the best drummer of that time frame at the same time in one band.
Oh, man. Three pieces. That's hard.
My favorite three piece might be Motorhead.
Okay.
But I know they're not the best, right? But they're my favorite because that's who I love. My second would definitely be The Police. But I don't know if it's Hendrix or Cream for me. I don't know the answer for my third. I don't know the answer. And the reason I would go with Police over Hendrix for me is I know every Police song. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm not, Hendrix wasn't my time frame. But I was a little, little kid. The Police rose during my life. And by before I was 15, they were gone. You know what I mean?
Like, is Canary in a Coal Mine the best sub-2-minute rock song ever?
Well, on the first record, they got a bunch of short ones, too. So it's a very difficult discussion. Like, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on titles and I apologize. But, like, I love the first record because there's, like, tinges of punk rock on it. Okay. You have these brilliant, brilliant musicians who are playing down. Yeah. It's so fucking cool. Like, it's so fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to think about this. This may have to be a conversation for another day.
Oh, that's what podcasting's about, though, is the spontaneity.
But I know for a fact that there are three-piece bands that I either forget that are three pieces or just am forgetting entirely.
Grand Funk Railroad's a three-piece band.
Grand Funk's pretty
fun. And those, not only just the songs in Grand Funk, but the fucking performance of Grand Funk. Yes, like, remember.
Three-piece, aren't they?
Who?
Yes.
Well, it changed too many times. Like, okay. I'm sure at one point it was, but then they've gone out with 12 people. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's a weird, and I hate Yes. I'm not going to lie to you. Prague can suck my fucking dick. Speaking of which, Rush is a fucking three piece. And I don't like Rush.
Say it.
No, I don't like Rush, but I'm going to say for real, they're good musicians.
I've never
So the that. Talent level, the songwriting for me is shit, but goddamn, they can play. So they're in the conversation. They're in the conversation.
I have no point to take away their talent. I won't do that because they're incredibly talented musicians.
But I'm not a fan.
I just, number one, your favorite statement in the world, can't fuck the Rush.
And then my bass player's brother got on the chat and he's like, yes, you can't fuck the Rush. And I wanted to write
his wife. Not if anybody wants to have an orgasm.
Yeah, and I'm like, I wanted to write his wife and be like, is it that bad? I'm really sorry. I apologize for you.
You probably shouldn't do that.
That's I didn't.
You may not
want. I didn't. I thought it in my brain.
It's good. Probably best you didn't go that route.
And then now I said on the podcast, so it's like way worse. Oops. You know what I mean? Now it's like the
out there in the ether now.
The
people
phrase
know.
And infamy. I mean,
it's out there on multiple platforms.
There's versions of Van Halen that were a three piece where nobody sang but Eddie.
Really?
Yeah. On record, too. Because he sang before lead. Mm. So technically, you could throw that in there. And dude, I love me some Eddie Van. I mean, maybe it's more nostalgic because he passed away, but I've always been a huge fan.
That's so hard. There's
but you brought it up. You're like, the greatest three-piece ever is The Police. No, it's not. No, it's not.
All right. I didn't say that. I asked if you thought it was.
It just can't be. And I love The Police. Like, I love The Police. But, like, Thin Lizzy. Thin Lizzy's a great fucking band.
Thin Lizzy's a three-piece?
At times. They had a guitar player who would quit, and okay. There's just three of them. There was a dual guitar threat, and then the back end of it wasn't. He left.
Thin Lizzy's really good.
Like, really good. But, like, the best parts of Thin Lizzy is when there were two guitar players, to be completely honest. Is Genesis for a three-piece, is what she said. No, I don't know. Mathematically, there's three members in Genesis. Tiffany just asked that question. So, what are your thoughts? But there's a bunch of musicians who play. Because Phil doesn't play the drums and sing.
Yeah. Are we counting them as a three-piece?
I'm asking you your opinion.
I don't.
Because the original Genesis isn't a three-piece. It's a five-piece.
And Genesis is cool.
Yeah. The older I get, the more I appreciate Genesis. Like, it was weird because I didn't know they had a...
For Phil on drums Genesis or Phil on vocals Genesis?
That's a tricky question. Now, I'm going to give you my answer.
Go ahead.
And it's dominated. It's not a fair answer either, to be honest with you. I happen to be 47 years old, And when I was a little kid in the 80s, Phil Collins was a big fucking deal. And Genesis with Phil Collins was a big fucking deal. And frankly speaking, him solo was a big fucking deal. Peter Gabriel. Mm-hmm. Like, big. Is that the name of the... No, it was So, wasn't it? He did a bunch of records that were just fucking short words or whatever it is. Two words thing. So, I believe, is the record for the Sledgehammer song. I believe that's the name of it. Anyway, if...
That's a good jam, too.
So, and that's then...
a better song from the 80s.
I loved it so much when I was a kid. Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Anyway, I go with 80s Genesis. They sold more records. So, Phil Collins Genesis for me. What about you?
I agree.
But if we were older, if we were 60, we probably... Lambs on Broadway is so good. Like, I still listen to it. It's so good. It's so good. And he brought... I don't like theater. I kind of hate theater. But the irony is, I brought theatrics to rock and roll when I was a kid. That was one of my first influences. So,
define theatrics, though.
Production. When you're a punk rock band from Philadelphia, which we were kids... I remember scouring the trash in Sam's expensive neighborhood. He's from Abington, which is a pricier place. And I would get all this cool trash, and that was our stage show. I found, and this is truth, a functioning traffic light. A real, legitimate traffic light.
Yo, they're huge.
Yeah, and it fit in the back of my fucking car because I had an Impala, which was huge.
That's amazing.
And my friend wired it together, and we'd plug it in, and we had fucking... floodlights for the band. So we've always had production. Where I got the production element was Motley Crue before they were famous. We're in the clubs in LA and they were doing that shit. Weird light up stuff on stage, smoke, a little bit of fire. So to be a shitty punk rock band, and there were other bands around. We were in a scene back then. This is 1994. Oh my God, it's a long time ago. Yeah. 29 years ago. We had production. I remember bringing ladders and like it was punk rock. But there was stuff on stage.
We were playing out. I was literally just starting my first band.
I was my second band by then. I'm a little older. That was my second. My first one, they were called Apathy. They're still a band today. They're called Stellar Belly. And the guy they replaced me with is still the singer. They're still a band. How cool is that?
How do you stay in bands that long?
I don't know. I did it twice.
I've been in like 20 bands at the time you've been in two.
Well, I was in a couple of others. In my book, The Broken, which became Starscream, goes on hiatus for a minute, a couple years. And I joined a band called, we called it Ideal Defect. They straight fired the fuck out of me.
Called what?
Ideal Defect. The Perfect Mistake.
All right.
Not bad, right? Not good. So I joined this fucking band. Oh, ZZ Top. ZZ Top. Shit. Right in that damn.
Texas.
That's Tiffany's.
Good call.
Good call, Tiff. ZZ Top.
ZZ
fuck.
Really fuck.
They might be the best American three-piece.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
Because, like, who the fuck else is there, really? Kendrick's is American, but the band wasn't, so that's a weird thing. You got two British guys.
ZZ
Top's
not fucking cool as shit, man.
Yeah. And then it's weird, because they've had a couple of levels of fame, too.
Talk about, here you go. I saw ZZ Top twice.
Go ahead.
More than 20 years apart.
So, were you on the Black Crowes tour in 89, 90?
With ZZ Top? No. Okay. Shortly after, I was on the 94 tour with ZZ Top and George Thorogood.
I got beef with George.
I did after that show.
What happened?
Thorogood opened the show.
Yeah.
Came out, did his thing.
Yeah.
Killed it. ZZ Top comes out, rocks the fuck out of the Spectrum.
What's the beef?
End of the set, Billy Gibbons invites Thorogood on stage, and he declines.
No.
I missed out on seeing George Thorogood and Billy Gibbons jam together because Thorogood was a cunt.
All right.
Fuck that.
I'm going to tell you mine, and then we're going to compare the two stories, okay? This is pretty bad, too. I happen to be a Stevie Ray Vaughan fan.
I don't know why you wouldn't be.
He's, for me, in our time on this planet, the best blues guy. In our time. Not from the 70s, okay. Not from, you know, but for the time we are here, there's not a lot better.
No, I could make a case for some lesser known dudes who I would say are as good.
Really?
But I think Robert Cray is as good.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Robert Cray is really good.
Yeah, but he had longer to fucking prepare and play.
Yeah.
And this guy's dead. So it's like, you know what I mean? You only have so much fucking time.
Yeah.
Like Hendrix did it all by 27. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing. That's special. Well, he wasn't much fucking older. He was like not 40, I'll tell you that. And he's gone. Right? Okay.
Stevie could fucking play that.
So, I don't know if you know this, but I know this because I'm a huge Bowie fan. The reason we know who Steve Ray Vaughan is, okay, he wasn't famous. Double Trouble goes, plays a blues festival in the UK. And it might have been like one of those outdoor shows. They have a lot of them in the UK. And David Bowie loved to go to shows by himself. People don't know this.
Nice.
And he would just fucking put a hat on. And you don't know it's Bowie. You wouldn't know. Glasses, hat, who the fuck's that guy, right?
Not all.
Exactly.
Looks like a dude.
And just smoking a cigarette, hanging out. And he's watching. He's like, this fucking guitar player is amazing. And this was right before David Bowie makes the huge Let's Dance record. Okay, Nile Rodgers is producing, and he has to decide who's going to play guitar on his album that Nile Rodgers made in a fucking quadruple billion platinum, right?
Yes.
Great record. Okay, he sees the show, and he has his people contact Double Trouble. And they're like, Steve Ray Vaughan, come play on the David Bowie record. And he's like, us. He's nobody, right? He's like, yeah, I'll play on Bowie's record.
Okay.
And he wheels in, and all the solos on that record that are bluesy, awesome solos. In the video, Bowie's playing, by the way.
Yeah.
They're all Steve Ray Vaughan. So then, you know, it's time to make the videos. And so Bowie's like, you're so good. Stevie, come on tour with me. And he's like, listen, I really appreciate the gig. I got like 20 grand and I made it in like 2 months. That's a lot of money for me.
Yeah.
I'm going home to Texas, taking this 20 grand and going on tour with Double Trouble. And Bowie wasn't, he didn't like it, but he wasn't mad. He was like, good for you. You do you.
Yeah.
So before the album breaks the way it is, he's got this chunk of money. He puts it into Double Trouble and they get their own record deal on the heels of, oh, this is Bowie's guitar player.
Yeah.
So then the only reason we know who he is because he's on Bowie's record. They weren't famous yet. They were just a little Texas band, right? Now they're starting to be a thing. George Thorogood's more famous at this point because he is the Delaware Destroyers guy. And he's got one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer. And Band of the Bone was all over MTV back then. Okay, he was a thing. They play a blues festival. I don't know where the fuck it is. And they go out for sound check. And they're like, listen, we're going to have Thorogood and we're going to have Stevie Ray Vaughan here. Why don't you guys do some dueling in the middle of this fucking show? It'll be fucking awesome. And they're like, no problem. Time for sound check, right? So, Stevie comes out with his full gear on 10. Everything's good. They mic him up. He's awesome. George Thorogood comes out. He puts his guitar on 2. Doesn't tell anybody. Done the whole thing. Now they're both huge in this monstrous PA. 5 hours go by. 6 hours go by. And he just turned it up to 10, and he couldn't hear Stevie Ray Vaughan.
What a cunt.
And he knew he was better, so he stepped on him. Fuck it. In my humble opinion, you are a better vocalist than me.
Thank you.
But I don't...
I have my own opinions about that, but
I don't feel threatened by it. I celebrate it.
Yeah, why
and, wouldn't you? But Stevie Ray Vaughan, who was obviously better than Thorogood, instead of celebrating it, Thorogood was like, I'm the fucking blues guy in America. I'm that guy. Fuck you. And that makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because A, you could have hampered Stevie's career. We don't get Stevie, right? B, be a fucking adult. Like, you're not bad, George. You're not. But you're kind of a piece of shit. And then, so what do you think?
In my own experience.
Yes.
Speaking from strictly what I know about playing music in front of people. When I go to a show, and I know that we're playing a show with Starscream.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are established and talented and are very good at what
you do. Also, thank you.
I know I got to bring my A game.
And that's what's a bad.
In no shitty way at all. Like, I look fucking forward to it. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be better because I have to keep up with the dudes I'm sharing the stage. And I'm cool with it.
And that's the
game. Let's go. Let's kill it. Let's go out there and wreck this thing.
Because now we'll be better together.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, all right, I love Iggy Pop. You don't. But I do. I also have a lot of affinity for Henry Rollins. I'm not a huge fan of Rollins' music. I do celebrate the Iggy Pop catalog, however.
Okay.
And when Rollins was still a solo artist, now he just does spoken word.
Yeah.
He had a band, and they were
not an Iggy Pop fan. Oh. Lust for Life is a jammer too, though.
No, you know what's weird about it? If we had time and we sat down and we just pulled them up online, there's 15 songs you don't know that are great. Like, yeah, there's great Iggy music. You got to sift through a lot of garbage to get to it. But they do exist, and I fucking love them. So I love Iggy. But the one thing Iggy could do is perform.
Oh, yeah.
If nothing else, he put a show on. So they're going to play together. Iggy Pop's band and Henry Rollins' band. And Rollins is significantly younger than Iggy, like a lot.
Yeah.
Right? So he's like, I'm in the fucking gym, and I'm hitting it. And he's like, I'm going to fucking blow Iggy Pop off the fuck stage. Out of respect, not a negative thing.
Right.
So he goes out, and he puts on a hell of a show. And he said, when I got backstage, I'm breathing heavy, and I'm sweating. I gave everything I had. And Iggy walked up, and he was like, why the fuck did you go and do that? And he's very calm. He's like, I don't know. And then he said, Iggy went out and destroyed the stage lights and made a huge party, smashing spectacle. The crowd loved it.
Oh, yeah.
And then Iggy's like, I wouldn't know how to do that. Why'd you put me in that situation, man?
Why'd you make me have to do that?
And that's how George should have treated it. George, yeah, should have fucking celebrated the fact that fucking, you know, you got a new guy.
Yeah.
A new guy.
And you could have killed it together. You could have been awesome.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
What is it? Is it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame show where they play While My Guitar Gently Weeps?
Yeah, and Prince killed it.
And Prince comes out. But there's like 3 or 4 other amazing guitarists that are out there.
Yes.
And there isn't any of that bullshit. They're all like, all right, do your thing, bro.
What hurt my heart about that story, and I love Prince, is Prince got off stage and he was like, I never heard that song before. And that made me sad. I think you had heard the song
before. I never heard that song.
Because once you know the key, let's be honest, Beatles songs aren't complicated.
No.
You get the key and the chord structure, yeah, and you can just go off.
Yeah.
And he fucking went off. Like,
he was so good.
And then Tom Petty's just laughing and watching it. That's, yeah, awesome. Like, he was a fan. You know what I mean? Like, and that's how it's supposed to
Tom
be.
Tom Petty's probably up there hiring giraffe balls and just laughing about it. Like, fuck, look at that.
Petty had a drug problem.
I fucking love Tom Petty, dude. I'm so sad I never got to see him.
I regret it. And it's weird. I felt like he was an American institution, and he would always be there, and I'd have
time. Nobody ever did more with less than Tom Petty. Like, have you, if you dig into a Tom Petty song, it is the dumbest song ever. Like,
it's not just charisma.
The basics of it are so basic. Half his tunes are like one guitar riff, and he just makes up different shit around it.
I didn't know that.
Like, they're so stupid. You can learn to play a Tom Petty song in like 14 seconds. But he made these tunes that just crush out of very little. And they're so good. I love Tom Petty.
He put a lot of time and a lot of effort into mastering the studio. And I never did as a musician. I don't like, yeah, it there. I don't like the studio. I feel,
you
know, like,
I love it.
I hate it.
I fucking love
it. I hate the buttons. I hate the atmosphere. I hate the environment. I wanna make art. And I like the cultivating and writing songs with my band and my friends. Yeah. I love that part. But it's like, I go in and it's like, all right, I got to remember what this girl did to me before I do this vocal, so I have this emotion. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, see, I'm the exact opposite. I can't do that.
Really? Explain, yeah, that.
I literally have to, when I write songs, especially the songs that like that are really sting you at your core, yeah, that you wrote in a really shit spot, like, I literally have to rehearse them enough that I have separated myself and I'm literally just making noises and not thinking about the words I'm saying.
It's funny. I do the same thing. For me, that's no effort required. You play the song 10,000, not 10,000, a few hundred times before you record it. At least, yeah, we do. So when I get there, I go the opposite direction. I try to conjure up the rawness. So the recording, okay, will reflect what's happening. So I put effort into that. Like, we're very different then. Because, yeah, live, all right, when I get on stage.
Now if you want to, you know, to, as you said, reflect the rawness of it, I think just my voice lends itself to that.
Well, I don't have that fucking power.
You do, sir. You do.
But I can, in front of people, I can make a spectacle of myself. Yeah. And I can really, that rawness that you have, I can do in front of people. It's difficult for me to just be in a room with padded walls and this fucking microphone, and you got to stand a certain way because once it's set up, you can't be like, you know what I mean? You can't.
Oh, I hate that.
Right?
That
does suck. So I don't like it. I do it, and I've gotten very good at it. I'm lucky I can double myself really easily. You're a master of the harmony. I am not.
Yeah.
But I am the master of the double. So I go, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I can do it, triple it. And yeah. Then it sounds like, wow, you know what I mean? I'm not a harmony guy, but I'm a doubler. You know what I mean? The Aussie trick. I got that shit.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to put effort into it. Like, so you divorce yourself from it? That's interesting to me.
Yeah. No. I have to get away from it.
Mm-mm, I want it. I want it. And then you go home and it's like, I've exercised the demon sometimes. Like, I go home and it was like, oh, okay. But I always leave. You know when you have a physically grueling day at your job?
Yeah.
It's the same feeling and I don't like it.
I agree.
I don't like it.
I do understand that feeling that it is like, you do leave it like spent.
Yeah.
But like, I like it more to like an accomplished day at work where you really blew things out, got a lot done. You're like, yeah, man, we really got some reward for our effort today. And like, yes, you are tired, but like, you feel good about it?
No, I don't. I never feel good about
it. No?
I just don't like it. And then because I didn't want to.
This I fucking important. Love it because once I sit down and listen to what everybody else is doing on a recording, I hear so much more shit that I can do. And I start picking out shit. I'm like, ooh, I can add something here. I can double a track here. I can add a backing track here.
Yeah, my mind doesn't do that. Oh, I can't do it.
100% immediately where I go.
Well, then you should be a producer. Because, no, but that's the gig, you know.
But I don't like doing it with other people's music.
Okay.
I only want to do it with my
own. No, interesting. Interesting.
Other people's I can give 2 bucks about.
But I don't. I write songs. I love writing songs. We build them so you can play them live. Yeah, right?
That's the whole point.
So then when I get in the studio, when you do the studio tricks, that's why I love Petty. Petty learned. He took the time. It took him decades.
Yeah.
But he learned the studio. And he's like, it's another instrument. The studio is its own instrument. You have to learn how to use it. And I just it's not there. I can't do it. I'm proficient. We can go in. We can make a record. We can find the one. We can do our work. It's not for me. And no. I'd be asked because I've spent a lot of money over the years on equipment, like a lot.
Yeah.
Somebody says to me, you should just have a studio. I don't want a fucking studio. I don't want to make my own. Like, and then the mixing process. My God, the mixing process. I don't have it in me to listen to the same song 400 times. And then, oh, is that kick drum a little low? Just fucking mix it. Mix the record. Just make the. And then there's members of the band who are meticulous about it. And I am not guy.
I'm bad.
I don't want it. I would never be an Axl Rose Land. Sometimes I like a little bit of a mistake on a record. And in this day and age, no one wants that.
I will wholeheartedly agree with that, though, that there is a time and place for, like, rock and roll ain't perfect.
Well, Neil Young has little issues. A guitar goes a little bit out of tune while he's playing, but like the emotion was on that track, they leave it in.
Yeah.
Shit like that. And his voice kind of gets, let's be honest, Neil Young's flat. Fucking Skinner's flat. I love Skinner. The guy made a career singing flat.
I love Leonard Skinner so much.
What's
your favorite Skinner tune?
Simple Man.
Really? You're going to go that route?
Hey, man, you asked me a question. Want me to fucking lie to you? That one makes me almost cry.
I do love that song.
Mama told me, like, dude, my. And I'm not talking about the other fucking version from that band that everybody loves.
Hey, I like that band.
I'm just saying, not that version. I want the real one with the flat singing.
That's fair.
I get emotional. Like, I talk about that song. All right, maybe not. You know what it might be for real?
Go ahead.
Tuesday's Gone.
It's a great song.
Man, those two bring me to emotion.
Yes.
And that's so what music's for.
Yes.
So maybe I'm on the fence. My mom's gone. Mama told me that line. That's it. And I'm just like, what about yours? What's your favorite? You're going to say, give me 3 steps?
No. Ballad of Curtis Love.
Oh, that's a good song.
Well, I used to wake in the morning before the rooster crowed. That's a jam, dude. That's such a good song.
That's a good song.
I love that. It's my favorite Skinner song by far.
I'm going to listen to that today.
I guarantee if you brought up like Skinner on my playlist, that one's played more than any other one.
Tuesday's Gone is my biggest one.
It's really good.
Tuesday's Gone is all the time for me. And then it's fucked up. I love that song so much. I'm sorry to hijack.
No,
you just said yours. Metallica covered it. Do you ever hear the Metallica cover?
Yeah.
It's really good. John Popper's on it. Like, and then it's like 11 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So they're
Who else is on? There's like other dudes on that too.
Pepperkini. I was just going to say that. And it's just a good jam. Now, they didn't write it.
Yeah.
But it's a good jam.
There's a couple songs off that Metallica cover album that are pretty decent covers. They did a decent
job. That might be my favorite Metallica record. Because Garage Days Revisited when you were a kid.
Can I tell you that I was so mad at something on that album when I heard it?
What was it?
And you do it, and I've done it. We are not in cover bands.
Mm-mm.
However, our original bands from time to time
we'll do a cover.
Enjoy to dance around the cover.
I love it.
For 10 years before that album came out, every band that I was in, I showed up and I was like, I want to cover Turn the Page by Bob Seger because it's awesome.
It is awesome.
And no one ever took me up on it. And then Metallica put out that album. I'm like, now I can't because they did it. And people think I'm going to cover Metallica tunes. God damn you.
And then I knew younger bands that were younger than us that I was like helping along and they started all playing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is gay. Oh, I was on someone else's podcast and I got bleeped out for saying the word gay.
Is that why you got bleeped? You fired off so many in a row that I couldn't
even
figure out the sentence.
Here we go. You ready to get offended?
This is what you get for going to other people's podcasts.
Hey,
right?
Promotion.
You don't have the freedom that you have here on our nonsense.
Fuck it. The R word, I changed to Down syndrome.
I don't think that's okay.
No, it's a Norm MacDonald trick. No one knows this but me. Like, Norm was on a fucking talk show and he went to say retarded and he caught himself and he's like, that person has Down syndrome. Right? And I thought that was fucking amazing. So I make that joke on there and I'm talking and say, like, I'm back, beep, 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 beep. And then I said, beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, I listened to that podcast, and there was a 14-second section where I thought maybe someone was chiming in with Morse code. I'm not even lying.
I said,
like, is this an SOS? What the fuck is happening here? Are you in trouble? I had to call you. I was concerned.
I made them do a 10-minute dissertation on the word fag.
You did? And was definitely some uncomfortability.
They cut it out. Their shit cut out. And they were like, yeah, we used to say that when we were kids. I'm like, you're goddamn right. This is America. And it's got nothing to do with fucking gay sex.
I just saw the other day a stand-up comedian doing a bit about that.
I saw it.
But he's like, we called everything gay except for being gay.
It's like, you kissed your mom on the lips.
You're gay.
Gay. And I brought up that comedian.
That's totally a thing. Like, I've probably uttered that word 80,000 times.
So I say bad stuff. I don't care. But here's the thing. People forget, this is very important. This is America. And you are allowed to say whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, yes, you
now,
are.
Now, the reaction to people when they do cancel you is their right. And I'm all about it. I'm not famous.
Disclaimer, if you choose not to listen to this podcast, well, we accept it. We don't give a fuck.
And we're going to make it anyway. And no, there's no sponsorship to lose. We're not getting paid anything. It costs money. We had to buy all this fucking shit. Right? There's people over there talking. I can't see.
Ah, people.
But,
you can't see what you're saying. It's too far
but
away.
But we say racy things. Let me rephrase that. I say racy things. You're very respectful, actually.
I try to be.
I'm not. I'm just
trying to keep it on even keel.
I remember being...
Honestly, I enjoy the challenge of trying to say it another way that's not offensive but still gets the point across.
So, like, kind of like regular terrestrial radio was.
Yeah.
In the 90s, right?
Like, how can I make this come off without saying that thing and make it sound like I said that?
So, you're like, this is my sofa king. I'm angry.
Yeah.
Sofa king angry.
Yes, correct.
The Stern trick. Were you a Stern, were you a Stern guy when you were a kid?
At a point, yes, and then no.
Interesting. I don't like them now. But I like
so,
that a lot.
What does Vex always say about rock bands? That after they're famous for 10 years,
yes,
they have lost touch with their target audience.
The common man. Yes.
That's how I feel about Stern.
That's an understatement. That motherfucker, he's like almost 70, living in his ivory tower. Yeah. Literally.
And didn't leave his home for 4 years because of COVID.
I think it was only 3 years.
Okay, 3 years. I'm sorry. Did you have the option to live in a tunnel for 3 years because you were scared of COVID? Was that an option for you?
I got to be honest. If we're going to speak the truth, and I'm not political, I want to stress again that I am not political. And I had COVID three separate times. I didn't give a fuck about COVID. Nah. Like, I didn't. I remember people coming to my house for band practice. Somebody's not in the band anymore. And his wife has, like, an illness, right? And he was like, I don't know. He wore a mask playing here. And I was like, I wanted to call him a fag. I was like, you just, come on. Like, no one's sick. And then the only guy that got us sick was his fucking coworker who used to fucking live here. Not that I'm fucking bitter that you brought COVID to my house, because we beat it in like 3 days. But still, it happened. I don't know. I really felt like COVID was much ado about nothing. I know it's... all right, here's where it got me. Fuck, I'm not political. I'm not political.
It's okay. I feel like maybe you are. We can talk about
this. Let me rephrase that. In my public life, I'm not political.
Okay, like, I love discussing politics.
I have opinions. I do, but not that guy. However,
fair.
Remember when they were telling us there were like bodies piled up to the sky in Italy?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where's the bodies? Where's the bodies? So you told me before it came here, before it got to our country, that in Italy, there were just dead people as far as the eye could see, right? Yeah. New York is a huge city. Los Angeles, California, with a lot of homeless people, I might add, who have no way to take care of themselves, is millions upon millions of people. Okay, where's the bodies? Now, granted, old people did die. People with deficiencies die.
Yeah,
chronic
people with pre-existing
conditions. And that's not funny and not cool. I'm not saying that.
And I'm sorry for those people.
I am. You don't shut a country down for it.
No.
Like, we're all adults. We all have mortgages. The fact that eggs cost this much is fucking ridiculous.
So I said this as it started to happen. I said this the entire time through it happening. I said, how much good is it really doing? Was always my question. To shut everybody down, you know, how much good is it really doing versus how much, maybe not even physical, but mental strain and harm is it doing to people?
I agree with that. That mental's big. That's really big.
If you look at the numbers, overdoses, suicides, domestic abuse, fucking skyrocketing.
Truth.
Skyrocketing.
Truth.
And then towards the downturn of it, when everything was opening up again, Johns Hopkins University came out with a report.
Okay.
All right. The New England Journal of Medicine issued a report that was created by Johns Hopkins University.
Okay.
In the medical world, you don't get bigger and better than what I just said. Those are the shit right there, you know?
I want to make a stepbrother joke so bad, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
Johnny Hopkins. We used to get high every day. Yeah. We'd smoke that shit up. Sloan Kettering and Johnny Hopkins, and we would smoke that shit every day. Go ahead. Go ahead, bro.
But the report said that as far as they could figure, the percentage of lives saved because of the lockdown was somewhere around 0.6 to 0.8%.
No shit, it's that low?
Yes.
And then I didn't take the vaccine.
You don't have to.
Thank God. There was a moment when you thought you would. And I have a thing. All right, this is why I'm divorced fucking 50 times. Don't question me and don't tell me what to do. I don't like being told what to do. I got problems, man. I got problems. Now,
the reason we are who we are is because of that statement right there.
Like,
if you want me to do something, the best way to get me to do something is to tell me that I can't or I won't. Fuck you. Watch this. Here it comes.
Or just ask nicely.
I'm going to do it big because you said I couldn't.
But
fuck you.
I will accommodate people who ask me something nicely. I will. But don't tell me anything. Don't ever. And then, all right, other countries, you can't speak your mind. If you tell a joke in Canada, you are liable to get sued if you sincerely offend someone on the public stage. Did you know that?
Fuck you.
That's real. Went to court over it. This is like an established, that's a thing.
Canada's fucked, by the way. Canada's fucked.
They have been for a long time.
Yeah, but Canada's super fucked now.
All right, I'm going to tell you what my understanding of it was when I was a kid, and then I want you to tell me the modern version, okay? The reason I think it's fucked, or was my understanding when I was a child, is they have all the same shit in Canada that we have here. It just costs a little more because you're taking it from here and shipping it to there, right? Now, politically, or where you're at, economically, why are they fucked?
So before we get to that, I'm going to tell a little joke because, as you know, I'm uber Simpsons fan.
Yes.
You know, I'm a huge Simpsons fan for anybody who doesn't know.
Lousy smart brother.
One of my favorite Homer Simpson quotes ever is, it's one of the Simpsons adventure trips that they take on the show and they're going to go to Canada.
Okay.
And Homer says, why do we have to go? We already live in America. Why do we have to go to America Junior?
That is true. America Junior. I called it America Junior for a long time. Because of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
A long time.
It's hilarious. But when you talk about like things in this country that are happening that, you know, as far as like cancel culture and you can't say this in a fear of offending somebody and, you know, weird narratives like, you know, a man can be a woman, this, that, and the other thing, which I'm not really going to get into. My opinions on that are neither here nor there. But, like, dude, in Canada, okay, if a 13-year-old child tells their parents that they are misgendered and their parents do not act in a timely fashion to begin transitioning them, they can be taken away and become a ward of the state.
Lies.
Facts. You can look it up.
I'm not going to look it up. I believe you.
And that's fucking disgusting. Do you want to talk about the ideas I had in my head of right and wrong when I was 13 years old?
Unpopular opinion. Hot take. There might be some mental illness there.
And there is a possibility.
There might be. Because if I'm 13, I'm just about fucking ridiculous. Like, yeah. I don't know shit about fuck.
You know nothing.
I just didn't. At 21, I was borderline ridiculous. Owning a home. Yeah. Like, I remember moving in, and I just didn't pay the electric bill. And my mother was like, you know, you're going to shut it off, right? I'm like,
Are they, though? Are they? Are they? Turns out, yes.
And I had gotten hit by a bus, and I had a lawsuit pending. And she's like, you can't not pay the bills because someday you're getting a settlement.
Yeah,
that's not that. How life works. And I was like,
are you sure about that?
And I was old enough to buy liquor at this point.
Yeah. What's your source on this?
So, yeah, I don't think any person, and that's why I'm grateful at least that tattoos are 18. Right? Because imagine the the ridiculousness you'd have got tattooed on your neck at 13. Beavis and Butthead for life. Could you imagine it? It'd be on my neck right now. It would.
I don't know about you, but when Beavis and Butthead came out, all right, there were shocking and uncomfortable similarities to my real life and the people that I associated with.
I thought that my friend Steve and I were Beavis and Butthead. Unfortunately, I was Beavis in the story, but I was like, we're Beavis and Butthead.
Legit. Like, I knew.
Like, Metallica, AC/DC, yeah. This is our fucking life.
Like, Beavis and Butthead were the dudes I hung out with and smoked weed with after school. I knew these people.
And you knew Todd?
Yeah.
The older guy with the mustache. There was always a Todd. That's cool. It spoke to me. I was like, this is my time to be alive. So no, that's the thing. I would have got a Beavis Butthead tattoo. Do you understand? So maybe making life choices at 13, 14, and 15 are bad fucking ideas.
I was pushing 30 and I got a Simpsons tattoo. So one can't really say
much. I say this all the time. I'm saying it again. I'm going to say it on camera. I want a Kermit the Frog tattoo because he's a musician. He's a bald guy and he fucks pigs.
He really only fucks one pig.
You don't know that.
Does Miss Piggy have a sister? Or?
I feel like there was like a line where they get divorced or break up and he has like a new pig girlfriend.
No.
Yeah, I think that's a thing.
So Kermit's not just in love with Miss Piggy. He's
He likes to fuck pigs.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it.
He's into the
I pig. Get it.
That's his thing. Good for Kermit.
Good for Kermit. And he's like the boss. Like he runs the show.
But does he really?
Yeah, well... No, that's like my life. Do I really run Starscream or does Starscream run me? Yes. Which is it really? Like, I think that I'm running shit. I ain't running a fucking thing.
Interesting paradox there.
It's true, though.
It really is.
Like, oh, these bastards in Starscream. They are. They're the worst. Like, I bought your drummer a kick pedal this week.
Are you sure they're the worst? Are you sure?
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 172 of the Vex on Vex podcast, Morning Radio 7.
Yes!
Dave, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Come to Dom's on Saturday night for Pistol Razor and Starscream.
The Vex on Vex podcast is available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network. Also, we simulcast currently live on my personal VexX YouTube channel, which is under Vex Starscream, and on the Facebook.
Multiple platforms.
This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.